This is Twit.
I wanted to bring up a topic that you guys mentioned on MacBreak Weekly at the top of that podcast, which I took from a Security Now angle.
I'm thrilled you did, because we were discussing the Supreme Court hearing yesterday over the really was more about the standing of the plaintiffs in a class action lawsuit against Apple, claiming that the App Store was a monopoly and people should be able to buy apps from other sources on iPhones.
Exactly. And that's, of course, what set me off, because we know how unable to make those kinds of decisions end users are. They're just not – they shouldn't have to be, and they're not equipped to, you know, to protect themselves. So at issue is whether Apple's App Store, through which, as we know, it alone can offer and sell applications for its mobile devices, constitutes a monopoly and gives it monopoly power over all sales of iOS platform apps. And as you mentioned before, correctly, the lawsuit, which is known as Apple Inc. versus Robert Pepper et al., it's a class action, and I feel, as we all do, that, and as you said on the podcast, these things are generally just, you know, for ambulance chasing attorneys to line their pockets, and the people who are members of the class typically receive pennies. So this suit has been around for almost a decade, and it argues that Apple's 30% cut, which they take of all App Store sales revenue, is excessive and anti-competitive and amounts to price gouging, since consumers have no alternative other than to purchase apps for their devices at Apple's, quote, inflated, unquote, prices. On the other hand, come on, like, really? But this issue is, as I said, of interest to us on this podcast, because we've often noted that consumers can act unwisely and may be poorly informed about the true dangers of obtaining applications which have not been rigorously scrutinized, vetted, and curated, which is, I think, a vital service that Apple performs, and not easy. I mean, we've often talked about how difficult it is, and yes, they make mistakes, but largely, for example, it is that and some of the other lockdown, one could argue monopolistic, things that Apple does are what makes the iOS a more secure platform today than Android. And we know that Google has been making efforts to sort of catch up in that regard. So as is often done in the law, and as you mentioned, Leo, Apple is not defending itself against that allegation. But their attorneys said, oh, let's, you know, here's how we'll spin this. What they've been arguing is whether the consumers who are bringing this complaint have grounds for that complaint in the first place. And this is known as standing. Apple is arguing with the plaintiffs, essentially, of these litigants, whether or not they have standing to sue Apple over any of this. So, I mean, aside from even looking at the issue, Apple's taken the position that only its developers, who are being charged a 30% sales commission, as Apple frames it, on the retail sales of their apps, would be damaged if Apple's conduct was found to be unlawful, and that it would be up to them to complain, that is them, the developers, not the end consumer. The precedent which the Supreme Court is revisiting was, and that's the reason it's gone to the Supreme Court, after Apple has already won in the appellate court. I mean, so the U.S. Department of Justice has already come down on Apple's side. So it's like, okay, we're taking this to the Supreme Court. So the precedent was set back in 1977 in a case known as Illinois Brick Company versus Illinois, which was a dispute in which the court ruled in favor of concrete brick manufacturers. The state of Illinois had sued the brick makers for allegedly inflating their prices, causing an increase in the cost of public building projects, which, of course, the state of Illinois was upset about. But the court ruled then that even though the increased brick costs might hurt Illinois indirectly, only the contractors who actually bought the bricks had standing to sue. And so that established what has become known as the Illinois brick doctrine, which gets hauled out every time this thing, an issue like this comes up. And that says that only the direct purchaser of a good can collect damages from a monopoly holder. So, as I said, the U.S. Department of Justice has already ruled that the Illinois brick case was controlling here, whereas they're arguing that the Court of Appeals misapplied the Illinois brick doctrine, which, of course, is what they want the Supreme Court to agree to. So Apple argued yesterday that it is not directly selling apps to iPhone users, rather that they're acting as an agent for app developers who ultimately are selling their wares to consumers. And so they're saying in exchange for the commission Apple takes on app sales, the company provides access to its vast user base and performs other services such as malware detection and so forth. So anyway, we know where we are on this. One way or the other, it would be a disaster we're a long way away from this happening, but it would be a disaster if the government ever forced iOS apps to be available from anywhere that a user wanted them. You know, the presumption is, oh, great, you know, we'll save 30%. First of all, no, it's not that, you know, you're not going to get something useful for less than 99 cents or free with in-app purchases. That's just not going to happen. But mostly we lose the ability for Apple to control this very attack-prone surface that our mobile platforms represent, and just stop being able to protect consumers from themselves, because we just know people would just be downloading stuff from everywhere and it would be a disaster. So, yikes.